on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
It's 25 to 11. Great week of harness racing coming up. Let's recap what's happened the last week and what are the highlights this week. Greg Hayes, good morning.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. And we heard a little bit of Lazarus there in the opener, and we will be talking about Lazarus on the show. He's been sold to America, and he'll have a short campaign over there in the States before being retired to stud. We'll talk about that on the show this morning with a former owner. Trevor Casey, he's been a guest on the show a couple of times, and we'll speak to him on the show this morning. It's been announced in the last 48 hours that Todd McCarthy will be the man who'll drive Maori Time in Sweden. So we'll catch up with Toddy this morning and have a chat to him about that. So he'll be first up on the show. Also today, Darren Williams is going to join us from Harness Racing New Zealand to have a chat about the Harness Jewels. There's been another invite announced overnight. So good news for New South Wales. A lot of Victorians have been invited, but the good news is that it's a New South Wales horse that will be going across. So we'll talk to Darren about that. Justin Prentice is going to join us. He's the trainer driver of the winner of the WA Oaks, our Major Mummer, on Friday night. It was a cracking drive, so we'll talk to him. And Chris Alford's going to join us. He drives Centenario. Now, there's no truth in the rumour that this interview has been forced on us after Andrew Bensley's a part owner in Centenario. Wanted to have a chat to Chris, not only about Centenario, but also about Wobbly, who will go around on Saturday night in the New South Wales Trotters Derby. Wobbly's drawn barrier number 6, and Wobbly surprisingly beaten on Friday night. Not too often Wobbly gets beaten, and of course he's heading across to the New Zealand Jewels as well. But first up this morning, we're going to have a chat to the driver of, well, Maori Time, who goes across to Sweden. Lucky enough to spend some time yesterday down at the stables of Brent Lilly down in Melbourne. And, of course, Maori Time, next time we see her race, will be across in Sweden. She heads off tomorrow. And Todd McCarthy is the man that will sit behind her on Elite Lop Day at Salvala. And Todd's joining us. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, Hazy, how you going?
Mate, really well. What a thrill to be driving Maori Time in the Elite Lot.
Yeah, awesome. I was pretty stoked when I got the news on Sunday.
Having a good chat with Brent Lilly and Fred Cruz yesterday, the decision basically left to Brent, and he said in the end he's a big believer that you basically got the mare into the race when you drove her at Menangle when she recorded that 151.5, so that win basically got you the drive in Sweden.
Yeah, pretty awesome to have driven her the once there, and when we got that good time to her name, that was brilliant on the day. So big thanks to Brent and Fred for giving me the opportunity.
Did you realise that you were in the mix and right up there when they were sitting down to work out who was going to drive her?
You know, not necessarily. Only probably sitting behind her the once, I sort of thought it might have been a bit of a long shot, but we did have that good time against the name, so I thought that might play a little something my way too.
You were on the World Drivers Tour last year in Canada. You spent a lot of time with Bjorn Goop, who represented Sweden. Will you speak about, or will you speak with him about having a drive at Solvalla and the pressure and what it's like to drive in an elite lot?
Yeah, we've sort of kept in touch then, and we've chatted a little bit the last couple of weeks, so I think it's going to be pretty exciting to get over there and race each other, but no, I'm sure he'll have a few good pointers for me that I can take on board.
She's one of the most laid-back mares I've seen. Quiet, wouldn't hurt a fly, but as soon as the mobile takes off, she really takes off. Probably not as classy as Sundon's Gift, the last horse to represent Australia in Sweden, but what she does have is gate speed, and she can put herself into a really good position early. That's no doubt her biggest asset.
Yeah, for sure, and she sure showed that at Menangle there that day. So hopefully getting over there, providing she travels over very well and everything like that, she should show up, and she's on her A game. I'm sure she'll do herself proud.
I keep thinking back to that story you told at an Inter-Dominion barrier draw. It might have been the year Seal and Print qualified, going back a number of years now, but at one stage there you were unsure if harness racing was going to be your full-time career. You thought about giving it all away or even cutting back your interest or your how much driving you were going to do?
Yeah, early on I sort of probably didn't take it, you know, as serious as I do now. And it was something that I wasn't too sure if it was going to be for me in the long run. And then things sort of changed probably, you know, getting towards the end of 2013, early 2014 for me. And my career sort of took a turn for the good. And I haven't looked back since. I've loved every moment of it.
Is there something, was there something that clicked, or was there a particular horse or a particular race or something that changed for you that said, yeah, no, this is what I want to do now?
I think Phil and Print probably helped me out a lot. He was sort of the first horse, a good horse that I had. I trained in my name and drove. And he, I think he probably put me on the map more as a professional driver, and he opened a few opportunities for me to get into some bigger stables, and then that sort of helped me grow from there. And it's just been a real climbing the ladder along the way, and yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
What a 12 months for you, mate. Tiger Tara's taken you to a New Zealand Cup, every big race in Australia and New Zealand, and now Maori Time's going to take you to the biggest trotting race in the world. Enjoy the experience. You'll be wearing the green and gold of Australia. Wear the colours with pride.
I will do, Hazy.
Mate, enjoy Sweden. I know, no doubt you will. How long will you actually be away for the drivers, for the trainers and for the owners that are listening? How long are you going to be out of Australia for?
I think I'm away for just under 3 weeks, about 19 days in total. So the first stop of the trip, Sweden. We're in Stockholm for 4 nights, and then we venture through a little bit of Europe after that, a couple of buddies and myself. So it's a trip that I'm sure we won't forget.
All right, we'll enjoy it, and also the R&R on the end of it, and we'll see you when you get back.
Perfect. Thanks, Hazy. Appreciate it.
There he is, Todd McCarthy. He will be wearing the green and gold. I spoke with Fred Cruz. He is changing the colours. Todd will be wearing green, gold. There's going to be a little bit of they'll be wearing an Aldebaran Aldebaran Park logo. There'll also be a ovarian cancer logo on the colours as well. But predominantly green and gold will be the colours that Maori Time will carry in the Elite Lop when she does compete in 2.5 weeks' time. But look, it came out of the blue. They had offers from right around the world to drive her. And speaking with Fred Cruz, the owner, he basically left it up to Brent. Obviously, Brent said it came down to basically two, Anthony Butt and Todd. But in the end, Brent said Todd McCarthy got her into the race by partnering her when she went that 151.5. If Todd doesn't drive her when she goes that 151.5, then they don't get the opportunity to go into the Elite Lop. So that's why he stuck with Todd, and that's why Todd is getting the drive. So that is the news with that. So congratulations to him, and we will no doubt keep a very close watch on Todd, and of course myself, and also Anthony Manton, luckily enough to be going across with Todd and Fred and the crew and the horse, and we'll keep you right up to date with all of that. Well, big news. Lazarus, the champ, the Inter-Dominion champ, the dual New Zealand Cup champ. The news is that he has been sold. He will head to the States. He's going to have a short racing career over there, and then he will go to stud. Now, the New Zealand Herald estimated yesterday the deal to purchase is somewhere in the vicinity of $4 million. And for former owner Trevor Casey, that means a huge payday. But it also means the end of a tremendous run, which includes two New Zealand Cups and an Inter-Dominion, as I just mentioned. Trevor Casey is joining me on the line. Good morning to you, Trevor.
Good morning, Greg.
Must have been a pretty difficult decision to make, but the horse will head to the USA for a short racing career before heading off to stud.
Yes, it was a difficult decision, but I really think we made the right decision for the horse. He can become a worldwide stallion going over to the States, and we'll certainly see him back here to stand in our part of the world as well.
Was there any ever talk amongst the owners, you guys, to maybe send him over to America, maybe with Mark and Nat yourselves, or did that never cross your mind, or did you think maybe the best opportunity is to send him over to, you know, sell him and send him over to someone in the States that way?
Well, we were going to continue to race him here, but the offer came along to send him at stud. Mark's too busy to take one horse to the States. He's got 20 open class horses in his stable that all need attention. And you just can't do everything. I still feel the right decision was made. You know, he's going to go over and compete in 2 to 4 races and try and equal or better the world record over a mile, which if he is able to do that, would just, you know, be a sensational sire. I think he's going to make a sensational sire anyway. And giving him those opportunities in America, I think he's going to stand in New York or out of New York, New Jersey. And according to what we've been told, they only serve 140 mares each year there. So he's going to get the best of mares, and then he'll come back here and be able to serve some books here as well.
There were a couple of offers on the table, but by the sounds of it, this one from North America gives him the chance to be that genuine stallion prospect in both hemispheres.
Yes, that was the exciting part about it. We could have sold him to a stud here in Australasia, but he wouldn't have had this opportunity in America. And I think we've really given the horse the opportunity to be one of the best in the world.
It's interesting. There has been a couple of statements going around on Twitter that the owners are all financially comfortable and why would they sell New Zealand's best ever horse? It's not about the owners, is it? It's about the horse and the horse's legacy and how this horse can be remembered in 50, 100 years' time.
Oh, that's correct. We had a good conversation with Mark, and Mark recommended that we do, send him over the year to have this opportunity. Any other trainer would say he'd want to keep him and race him, but he certainly wanted to do the best by the horse, and it's exciting going forward. I'm intending to go over and see him race over there and hopefully be breeding Lazarus down at that.
It's interesting you say that, because that was my next question. You've sold our Waikiki Beach and now Lazarus to the US. And I know when I was working at Harness Racing New South Wales, I used to speak to you quite often, and you were always coming over to Australia to watch our Waikiki Beach race. So I guess that means there's going to be a few frequent flyer trips across to the States to watch our Waikiki Beach and Lazarus do a bit of racing.
Yes, certainly. Our Waikiki Beach, he won his first couple over there, but I haven't seen him race for a little bit, so I think they might have just given him a bit of a break. But, certainly Lazarus, the Red Mile in Kentucky, I'd love to be there to watch.
Any idea which stud Lazarus would stand at here in Australasia when he does return, if he's shuttling between the two hemispheres?
Yeah, there's a couple of possibilities. I think it's the major stud that's where he'll be aimed at. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so that's the latest with him. And have you got any idea when he heads to the States? It's pretty soon, isn't it? From reading the story yesterday.
Yes, the 25th. I think is the flight out of Auckland. I think yes. I'm not sure which way they go now. Last time I sent one over there, I think they went China.
Have you had the chance to say goodbye to him?
I went to him 2 weeks ago. He looked brilliant.
Must have been very hard to say goodbye, because I know how special a horse he's been for you.
Yep.
All right, mate. Well, thanks for joining us. I know it's been a tremendous ride, and you'll get great pleasure watching him and no doubt watching his progeny continue to race on in future years to come.
Yes, and I've still got a couple of the family, so whether one of his close relations can do what he's done, Never know.
Fingers crossed. Thanks, Trev.
Cheers. Thanks,
there he is, Trevor Casey, former owner of Lazarus, as he heads now to the States to continue his racing career, only a short career. Again, had the luck and fortune to be part of the Breeders' Crown coverage last year, and they're going to stake him to be part of the Breeders' Crown this year. And who knows? Who knows what Lazarus can go at the Red Mile? They're going to try and break the world record. We're going to speak with Darren Williams now, because big news. It is going to be, it was on Twitter last night. Team Australia, it is getting stronger and stronger and stronger as we go in search of our first New Zealand Jewels. Our team consists of Wobbly, Carla's Pixel, She's All Rock, Jillaby Kung Fu and Custodian. They are five legitimate winning chances. We've added to that in the past 12, 18 hours. Darren Williams from Harness Racing New Zealand is joining us. Morning, Darren.
Yeah, good morning, Greg.
Mate, this team is getting stronger and stronger, and big news with another one added overnight.
Yeah, two-year-old filly, Platinum Revolution, trained by Shane and Lauren Trizin. Really excited to have her here. She's a real speed horse. And the two-year-old fillies over here with a couple of clouds around a couple of horses like Princess Tiffany after injury at Auckland. Still is in reckoning at the moment, but still has to come through some more work in the next week with the time. So Platinum Revolution would be delighted to see her here. And, you know, Shane Tritton, I couldn't speak more highly of the help that he's given us over the years with the Jewels as of all of the trainers. But Shane's been there from year one with Australian entries. So delighted to be able to have him over here with a horse as good as her.
So you've now issued six invitations. Not too many that we're missing. So what do we need? A three-year-old gelding and then a two-year-old boy and then a two-year-old trotter. Is that what we're missing at the moment?
Yeah, that's what we're dealing with at the moment. This is, you know, unbelievable, Greg. Like, we're so excited about getting this team, you know, with the strength that's on offer here. It's the first time we've had interest in every single race. There are some that, you know, during discussions have fallen by the wayside. So we were working very, very closely with the connections of the Black Prince, a three-year-old gelding or colt to be in that series. They've declined the invitation. They're concentrating on the other races that he has available to him in Australia. So at this stage, we haven't got a three-year-old colt. We've got a couple of two-year-old boy pacers that are interested and a couple of trotters that are interested. So I'm pretty confident that we've got one of those locked in. There's a wee bit of racing to go yet. Obviously, there's the feature two-year-old race at Menangle on Saturday night, the Rod Fitzpatrick Memorial, where Pete's Big Gym and It's All Business take their place. And we've been working very, very closely with the connections of Pete's Big Gym for quite a wee while. And very, very excited about the potential of coming over to New Zealand. So he's already run some tremendous placings. He's placed in 52 and a bit behind College Chapel, and he beat Platinum Revolution home that day, and he's won a couple of races himself. So he's a serious racehorse. It's All Businesses, just the winner of a race at Cobram just recently, so steps up to the big league, if you like, this week. And Moreton Bay, trotter of David Jacks, along with a filly of his called Sia Mackey, both start this Thursday at Maryborough in heats of the homegrown series. So there's a strong possibility that one of those trotters could be over here as well. So if we ended up with eight horses out of the nine races, it would be quite incredible. We've had five horses over here once before, but generally it's just been one or two, and the odd time none at all. So certainly, numbers-wise, strength-wise, and overall, the most exciting team that we've had here. And when you look at a headliner like Jillaby Kung Fu, you know, he is a serious open-class horse in the making. Second in a Miracle Mile as a four-year-old, an unbelievable feat in the time that he went. So, you know, these are the sort of horses that we'll see back here in 2 years' time for the Inter-Dominions when they return to Auckland.
Yeah, Darren, look, I think it's good. And I know the Breeders' Crown obviously thrives on the success of having the Kiwis as part of it. We love seeing the Kiwis come across. And obviously, when the Harness Jewels first started, I think some of the local trainers were a little bit concerned that the Aussie trainers would come across. And it's obviously very difficult for the Australians to come across and win. We haven't won one yet. And then the Kiwi trainers can see how difficult it is for the Aussies to come across and win. And I think now the New Zealand trainers, when an Aussie can come across and win, they're going to fully respect that victory. So they'll totally understand how tough it is for these Aussies to come across and win. And I think it'll be quite special if and when an Aussie horse can come across and win a Harness Jewel. So it's time an Aussie horse did it. And hopefully this year it is.
Well, you look at the strength of these, Greg, and it's hard to imagine that one of them's not capable of winning. I mean, many of them are. So you know, when you look at it and you look at things like an Inter Dominion of yesteryear, both sides of the Tasman will remember that rivalry and the volume of new horses that people hadn't seen in either country when they're travelling there, and the excitement that that creates, a different element it creates in the race, the way the horses are driven. It just adds to that whole excitement, and we've been seeing that, you know, with our horses going over to the Breeders' Crown and travelling to Australia for other features on a regular basis. And Australians have come over here as well, but not in the numbers that we're talking here, unless it's been in the Dominion. So, you know, how exciting to have a filly like She's All Rock here, Jillaby Kung Fu, as I say. Wobbly, although he was beaten last week. I was speaking to Alison Alford last night, and they thought he was just a little bit underdone. He heads to the New South Wales Derby on Saturday night. And, you know, a horse like him with five Group 1s under his belt, you know, these are serious racehorses. And the interest that we get from Australia betting into the Harness Jewels is immense. You know, those many of the races on Sky One. So, you know, unbelievably exciting. And, you know, we're absolutely wrapped with the support that we've had from the trainers over there, the leading trainers that we've been dealing with week in and week out to get to the situation we're in.
All it does is make the product stronger. Darren, thanks very much for your time, and we'll be in contact, no doubt, to see if there's any more invites issued in the next week or so.
Beautiful, Greg. Thank you.
Thanks, Darren. Darren Williams from Harness Racing New Zealand, with Platinum Revolution going across to represent the two-year-old fillies for the Tritons. We're going to catch up with Justin Prentice. I don't know whether you saw the WA Oaks on Friday night, and if you didn't, get onto harness.org.au and have a look at the replay. Justin Prentice, well, you can't get better than 10 out of 10, but give Justin a 10 out of 10 for his drive. I heard an interview that Justin did on Friday night after the race, and he wasn't even sure that our Major Mama was going to get into the WA Oaks. He thought that she may even get a ballot. He drew wide on the track. He went back at the start. He ended up four pegs, and he just kept probing for runs. Now, Soho Burning Love was in the race. Mick Stanley took off with just over a lap to go, and when he took off from the tail of the field, it sort of opened the field up, and a few horses made moves, and it allowed Justin to up the back straight just to get off the fence and push through gaps. And all of a sudden, coming to the turn, he was full of running and he was out wider on the track, and bang, there was a hole and Justin was through it. Justin's no stranger to WA success, and he's joining me on the show to have a chat. Morning, Justin.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, shocked a few of the punters on Friday night, but did she shock you as the trainer driver, our Major Mama?
Yeah, she sure did. After the race, I had to remind myself that it was definitely the Oaks we just won, because there was no hype going into the race from, you know, media or anything talking to me about her chances or any expectations from the owners or anything like that. So we went there with no pressure on whatsoever and could just drive her for every bit of luck, and we're hoping we might be able to sneak in the fifth or sixth if we got the right runs. And on the night, we got, you know, a perfect run, and she's probably run the race of her life.
In a post-race interview I just mentioned, I heard you say that you didn't know if the filly would be balloted and you'd be racing at Bunbury on the Saturday night or Gloucester Park in the Oaks on the Friday night. In the end, the handicapper was right. You got a run and you won the race.
Yeah, I really didn't think that she would get a start. And then when she drew eight, I wish she didn't. The owner rang during the week and said, I wish we didn't get a start. We should have been in at Bunbury on Saturday night, but the prize money for Friday night was a bit better than Saturday night.
When you were four pegs with a lap to go, how did she feel?
Yeah, she travelled super in the run. You know, just nice on the bit and never come off the bit at all, really. Down the back, I sort of thought the way we were travelling, you know, we're a chance to sort of run in fifth or sixth if we get the right gap. But we're still a long way off them. And around the last bend, I was pretty much just looking for gaps and didn't even really know how close I was getting to the leaders. And sort of when the gap opened up at the top of the straight, it wasn't until she shot through that I realised there was no one else in front of me and we'd hit the front. So I was just praying the winning post was coming pretty quick.
So what do you do with her now? Can she continue to improve? Is she the sort of filly that's going to develop into a stronger mare and compete in all of those big mares races that WA has?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I said to Tom, my foreman, that after the race, I said that I wouldn't put her in the same category as Major Reality, who won the Oaks for me a few years ago. And but then she's gone about a second and a half quicker than she did as well. So it's a bit hard to take anything away from her. And she's a big filly and she's really fine. Hopefully another season of racing and another break, then she'll come back and hopefully she'll get bigger and stronger. And it shows now that she can run 25, which I didn't think she'd be able to do beforehand. So if she's always had the speed. So if she can just get a bit stronger, then, you know, probably still driven a similar way, then, you know, she probably could be against the better fillies with the right run.
And what about the owners? Are they big supporters of the stable, been with you for a long time?
Yeah, John Lohman's the managing owner of the partnership, and he's, you know, been a big part of my success of late, especially I met him in New Zealand at the yearling sales, and we just slowly got more and more horses together, and it's a big group of owners, a lot of owners in it that I haven't had in my stable before, and they're just over the moon. There was a few there on Friday night that were pretty emotional after the race, and that's, you know, I think that's the best part of our sport, to be able to enjoy it with other people, and probably the surprise of and the shock of the race made it even more special for them.
Mate, fantastic. Good story. Mate, congratulations. Well done, and keep on winning those big races.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
There he is, Justin Prentice, with the win of Our Major Mama in the WA Oaks on Friday night. And I think I was working on Friday night, you bet it came up $249 on the tote. An absolute blowout for punters. And it's good to be a hindsight punter, but she ran fourth at a previous start, one of the preludes or the preview of the Oaks, and was beaten 6 metres. But went round as a $250 chance. Chris Alford's going to join me, and I know we're running over time, so I'll keep this one short. Centenario was simply brilliant, winning the APG final on Saturday night. He burnt the candle at both ends, and he was just brilliant getting the job done. And he's named after a Lamborghini, and he looks like he might be pretty well named, Centenario. And Puppet's joining me online to have a chat about him. Morning, Puppet. How are you?
Good, thanks, Greg. How are you?
Really well. Centenario looks like he's another nice baby in the Stewart camp.
He's pretty special. He's got everything going for him, and should keep going on with the job.
He did it at both ends the other night.
Yeah, well, he's, you know, pretty much a, you know, foolproof racehorse, and you know, the male was, they wanted to hold the front on Shane's horse, and he sort of come out as good as, but it just looked a bit rickety in its gait going into the first turn, and I thought, well, might as well give him a test, and we really humped into that first turn, and he was able to get across, and that was the end of the race.
Puppet, we're going to see Wobbly up here on Saturday night. He suffered a rare defeat on Friday night. It's been a while since we've seen that happen. Any reason for the defeat?
Pretty much. He was just sort of first up. He had a trial at Melton the week before, and want to teach him to sit in and run home, because he's led in pretty much all these races, and they went like 2.5 to 1700, so probably just a run under, and he blew out pretty bad the last sort of 100 metres, but he worked really well yesterday, and let the muscle man go over him, then found a few little niggles with him, so should be good for Saturday.
How's he come back as a 3-year-old? Has the spell done him the world of good?
He's a lot bigger and a lot stronger now. You know, the others might have caught up to him a little bit, but I'm pretty sure he's going to have a great year.
You and Alison looking forward to the trip across to Cambridge for the Jewels?
Yeah, it'll be something sort of different. You know, not many Australians, as we've seen, have gone over there, and we haven't had a winner there yet, but this year looks like a good chance for us. There's a lot of nice horses from here going, and, you know, hope we're one of them.
I know Blake and Bono keep asking about this record of winners in a season, and I know you're on target to break it. If you get the record, would Alison and yourself look to take on a bigger team at home, and you'd back off the driving as much, or would things just continue on as they are at the moment?
Yeah, it's a hard one. You know, you don't go out at the start of the year to set any records or whatever, but it would be nice if we could get it this year. As you said, I've started really well, and usually the first 6 months is the slowest 6 months, so to be where I am now compared to last year, I'm probably, I don't know, 150 winners in front of that. So as long as the drives are there, I'm happy to keep driving. But as much as training goes, you know, we're happy to keep sort of between sort of 15 up to 20 and let the driving do the rest. But, you know, one day I'll have to slow down. But, you know, while the good drives are there and people support me, I have to sort of keep doing what I'm doing.
And how often do you go through a car?
Oh, no, I love my cars. I keep them until they die.
Yeah, but you must go through a car every 4 or 5 years, the amount of kilometres you do.
Oh, no, I got a Hilux that I've had since before Katie was born, and she's 10, so it's done about 530,000, and it keeps chugging away. And
are you kidding? 530,000, you still got it?
Yeah, yeah, and then I have a Commodore that's done nearly 300, so no, they just keep going. I'm not really a car enthusiast, so I just drive them until they die.
Wow, okay. So I thought the way you'd been driving all those winners, you might have gone out and got yourself a Centenario. Apparently it's a Lamborghini. Bensley tells me after Saturday night, that's what the horse is named after. But
very good. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, he does like one.
Yeah, well, he does. He does, mate. All the best of luck. Congratulations with the win, and I'll catch up with you on Saturday night.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is. Chris Alford, the driver of Centenario, who won on Saturday night, the APG, and of course will drive Wobbly in the New South Wales Trotters Derby on Saturday night. That just about wraps it up. I've run over, and I do apologise again, Cozzy. I'll catch you again next Saturday night, next Tuesday.
Good on you, Hazy. Greg Hayes there on the pace.